Welcome back to your forecast news with Millie and Afshin. As you know, we'll be talking through some worldly events coming up in the week that we think are worthy of discussion. If you're new here, please subscribe and do give your comments on the events we discuss. We like to hear your opinions, don't we, Afshin? As always.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially this week when I have no anniversaries, I've been advised. So if anyone wants the anniversaries back, write in.
Well, we do have some quite important anniversaries coming up actually this week. Maybe I've remembered some of you haven't. But we better begin starting with Monday, 3rd of June, 2024. I can't believe we're basically halfway through the year already. First up, I've got the U.S. House Representatives Committee, which is called the U.S. House Rules Committee. They're meeting to prepare sanctions against the International Criminal Court over its arrest warrant for Israeli PM Netanyahu and his defense minister. Now, they failed to mention that they also issued an arrest warrant for Hamas leaders, which I don't think the U.S. cares too much about, clearly. Now, I'll just tell you what this legislation...
No, wait. I thought they are... they're really annoyed that the ICC was against Hamas and that the House of Representatives supports Hamas, isn't it? Anyway, you better explain
that. How you read it? Oh, well, maybe that's...
I know Congress is now basically Hamas.
Maybe that's true in some way, but I don't know if you've seen what the legislation actually says. It says to impose sanctions with respect to the ICC engaged in any effort to investigate, arrest, detain, or prosecute any protected person of the United States and its allies. And a vote can come as soon as Tuesday. But I mean, like, what does this even mean? Like, why is the US doing this? I mean...
Anyone protected by the United States.
Yeah.
So that could be anyone then.
Yeah. So
that's Rishi Sunak, clearly, because he's a co-conspirator, arguably, in genocide, and he has a green card, or he gave the green card up.
Yeah. Well, like you say, though, are they saying Netanyahu is a protector of the US, or
the United States, and it's bribed congressmen, because they're all funded, aren't they, by Israeli assets. They're basically, it's an election manipulation by the Israeli government. Why don't other countries do this? Why didn't, when Yugoslavian leaders were being ridiculously attacked by the International Criminal Court, when other leaders, isn't Vladimir Putin, isn't there a warrant out for him? Or is that from the ICJ? I get confused by these ridiculous courts.
Yeah.
At least the United States, albeit it's not really the people of the US because they don't have a government for the people there. They have a government for the Israeli leadership. At least they do something about it. I can't see Russia doing anything about this. I can't see Yugoslavia never did. The African countries at the International Caucasian Court, as it was called, what did they do? They should have passed laws and attacked the International Criminal Court directly. And of course, we now know that according to some investigations in so-called mainstream media in NATO nations, they threatened individual judges on the International Criminal Court. So finally, these ICC well-fed judges can find out what war is really like instead of doing things like, what did the ICJ say? Or was that the ICC? Give them a month to commit more genocide in Gaza.
Yeah, I mean, I think these arrest warrants are pretty much more symbolic than anything, though, right? But I don't know if any British forces or British leaders are going to get any arrest warrants, because also on Monday, the UK's Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace, is giving evidence at this hearing. I don't know if you're aware of it. Independent inquiry into alleged extrajudicial killings by the British Army in Afghanistan. Now, this is between the period of 2010 to 2013 when the UK was in Afghanistan. In 2022, there was that Panorama documentary, which is like a investigative BBC series, for those who don't know, where it claimed...
documentary series.
It claimed that 54 Afghan detainees were unlawfully killed by British forces. So since then, there's been an independent inquiry on the, investigating into these. Now, Ben Wallace has said defence has made a number of changes in recent years when dealing with serious allegations of wrongdoing against our armed forces. Many of these are already in operation, including the creation of the Defence Serious Crime Unit. So I guess they're not denying that they did this. But what do you expect the findings are going to find? We should expect it in the next few months, actually, probably before the next prime minister is elected in the general election. I don't know what we're going to find.
Probably independent inquiry at the Royal Court of Justice, where they are allowing the continuing torture of Julian Assange, the greatest whistleblower who revealed war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq. I think instead of independent inquiries into British armed forces activity, alleging British forces are murdering civilians, people of all ages, they should, because British forces are infamous for mass murder all around the world, they should inquire into when British forces didn't kill babies, children, especially given right now British forces are advising Zelensky's neo-Nazis to attack Russia. British forces presumably have to be there with British weaponry is sent to Gaza to sent to Israel to murder children and burn and behead babies in Gaza. So maybe an inquiry like that would be even better. I notice, I mean, obviously nothing will happen. Britain has been murdering people across the global south for decades. Why is it no mention anywhere of this alleged USS Eisenhower aircraft attack by Yemen? It's just not being mentioned. Britain, which here is doing this inquiry into Afghanistan war crimes, bombed Yemen in the past few days. According to Yemen, they killed civilians. Let's see, this inquiry is 2010. War crimes alleged between 2010. How long do we have to wait then, till 2035, to find out how many people Rishi Sunak and arguably the British Parliament ordered the mass murder of in the past few days in Yemen?
Well, bear in mind, this Afghanistan investigation has only come about years later because of this Panorama series. So I suppose it takes a journalist to expose these alleged crimes for anything to happen. But of course, by that point, whoever was in charge at the time is long since out of power or out of office. Or you can kind of just pass it off as the previous administration's work or the previous government. So I suppose maybe that's why they do it. I don't know.
Exactly. It's too late. And actually, that brings me to the biggest event on Monday, apart from, I can just see how many children and babies are being beheaded by Britain, United States and EU nation weaponry as I speak to you. But Anthony Fauci, are you going to talk about this?
Yeah.
Fauci giving his evidence on COVID.
Yeah.
That virus.
Yeah, well, that seems to have come out at a weird time. Obviously, he's not really in public office anymore, is he? But I don't know the timing of that coming
Did
about.
You see, even the, historically pro-Nazi Daily Mail saying, revealed, Fauci confesses he made up all the COVID rules, including 6 feet social distances and masking children. All these masks were nonsense. All the, why now? It's a bit late now, given the 6 feet distancing and COVID and all these rules. They're all faked, according to a full transcript leaked before Monday's, that's today's, U.S. House Committee hearing, where Fauci will finally answer about why they were manufacturing coronavirus in a U.S. lab in China. I think the Chinese authorities have some questions to answer. Why were China allowing the United States to run biowarfare labs? Of course, as for journalists, it says a lot about NATO nation propaganda journalists who just, like stenographers, wrote down 6 feet distancing, masks everywhere. It's probably from a pangolin or a bat. It can't be from a lab, even though we know the lab was investigating the weaponization of, what's the phrase they use? Poor function, gain of function, coronaviruses.
Well, I think we still don't know the exact origin, though, right? I think there's still several theories. Some point in more of a direction than others, but the ultimate truth.
I thought now we know it was the US biowarfare.
Well, I think there are stories and so-called evidence coming up.
This is on the 10th and contractor YouTube's channel. all I can say is the government were right about everything they did. And I don't know why Anthony Fauci is now saying he made it all up.
Yeah, well, when it comes to things like distancing and that kind of thing, I mean, in a sense, there was some scientific basis, right? But I guess everyone was really just winging it. So
it didn't affect anyone. I mean, the Queen couldn't hug her relatives when her husband died is the only effect it had, according to British media.
Okay.
You know what? I think it had an impact on dying relatives in care homes and poor people. But, you know, who cares?
Okay. Well, we could talk about COVID for a long time, but we don't have a long time.
No, the government is right. And vote Big Pharma at this November's US elections. I know you're going to go on to Hunter Biden, your favorite man.
Do you know that now? Oh, okay. I wasn't going to, actually. But as you mentioned, Hunter Biden, obviously Joe Biden's son, his trial does finally begin on Monday. We have mentioned that a few times on this show, starting just a few days before Trump was convicted. Obviously, that's happened since we last spoke. Now, this Hunter Biden trial is in relation to gun charges. He went to buy a gun. He was supposedly on drugs, which he said he wasn't, even though he has admitted to drug addiction in the past. But weirdly, this case still hasn't got that much coverage in mainstream media, has it, other than in the US? Certainly nowhere near as high profile as Trump's. I don't know why that is, but I don't know if these criminal trials almost put Trump and Biden on a level playing field in a way.
Trump is adjudicated by a judge who's a Biden donor, and it passed the statute of limitations and had previously been thrown out and was just brought in at the last minute. The Trump case was clear political persecution, as they do in the United States. Anyone who's that popular, they either murder or use these sorts of ridiculous attempts to imprison opponents. Whereas this is pretty clear, isn't it? Drug use when purchasing a firearm. Anyway, I suppose in the coverage that will be given, they're not going to mention the fact that Hunter Biden is a Ukrainian executive on an energy deal. That'll go by the by. And everyone will be much more focusing on Trump, which is just, I mean, the media over the weekend, it's just been crazy.
Yeah,
about this important case. No one really knows whether it's made him popular or more popular or less popular, I think.
Yeah, I think that's very mixed opinions on that. We'll find out in November whether it has or not. Obviously, Hunter Biden, though, he faces 25 years in jail as a result of this. So I don't know if he actually is sentenced, if that's even going to make a difference to Joe Biden's case.
The absurdity when his father is selling weapons for genocide. Now Joe Biden is not in the dock over what he's doing. And we've heard from Jake Sullivan saying, wait and see how many babies they kill de facto in Rafah. I mean, the idea that the United States has a justice system, has a any kind of idea of jurisprudence, it's all out the window now, isn't it? So it's absurd, these court hearings. Are you going to mention, you know what, because it's Monday and I know it's forecast news and I know this is in a sense the past, but it is on Monday that the woman leader of Mexico, Sheinbaum, was elected, as we talked about last week.
That's true.
If you subscribe, you'll be able to see last week's. Do you know who the previous woman leader of Mexico was? Because you know she said at the inauguration, first time in 200 years.
Who was it?
Can't pronounce the name. An Aztec queen. I do notice, however, the NATO nation press hate her. Look at this. No agenda for women in Mexico, according to the New York Times. They don't like this woman. It looks like she's not going to play ball with the military-industrial complex of the United States. So exciting things may be ahead in Mexico, although it has to... You know, it's historically always carved a very precarious, strange path that many people would like to be a little more, what would one say, a little bit more tough on the human rights abuses north of the border.
Well, speaking of elections and democracy, I don't know if you've been invited to this Oslo Freedom Forum in Norway, an annual conference for democracy and human rights, as you just said. This theme this year is apparently Reclaim Democracy. There's going to be a few speakers there. In Oslo.
Oslo.
Yeah.
Is that Jens Stoltenberg Norwegian? It's just in Norway, yeah. So it's a Nazi Oslo Freedom Forum, isn't it?
Okay. Well, I think the co-founder of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, is going to be a speaker there, oddly enough. So I assume you're not going. I thought you're an advocate of democracy.
Dorsey, he shadow banned me on Twitter before Elon Musk came to the rescue.
So you don't fancy heading down there to confront your enemy in the name of democracy, which I know you support?
Oslo Freedom Forum, which I understand will be attacking Nicaragua, China, Venezuela, Cambodia, and is funded in part by Sergey. I answered my own question. Google money. It's a Pentagon cutout.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Tuesday then. Oh, 14 minutes already.
You don't care about the International Labour Organization meeting then?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, do you want to say something very quickly about that?
Just workers. Actually, it's a CIA cutout, the ILO, so no one cares at all. And I should also say Lavrov is in Guinea to forge new aluminium contracts between Russia and Guinea-Bissau. I think Lavrov will be visiting a few countries starting Monday. And the Turkish foreign minister is in China. What will they be talking about now? China is saying definitely they're not going to this ludicrous Ukraine conference. And China's getting increasingly angry about the genocide in Gaza.
Okay. Tuesday then, 18 minutes in already. We better be quite quick. I assume you're at least going to this one, Afshin. This is the memorial concert in Berlin for Alexei Navalny, who died while he was serving his 19-year prison sentence in Kharkiv, the Russian city. Now, this concert is called This is Navalny. Almost sounds like a like an album. It's taking place on his birthday, June the 4th. I think it's primarily Russian groups and singers who are going to this. I'm sure you're a fan of some of these, Afshin. Igel, Castor, Noise MC, and particularly Porno Filmy is one of them, the punk rock protest group. I've seen on this website there's even some Navalny merch. You can get some t-shirts on this website. I'm guessing you'll be getting your hands on one of them. I know you love your slogan t-shirts, as demonstrated today. Will you be going?
I think it'll be at the Uber Eats Music Hall.
Yeah.
What's an Uber Eats Music Hall? Berlin is the center of support for neo-Nazism in Europe again, the center of support for genocide in West Asia. Of course, it should be celebrating Navalny. He wasn't an important opposition figure in Russia, as all the polls verified by even Western organizations showed. The reason I'm laughing about this dead Russian figure, Alexei Navalny, is he would have supported genocide in a bigger way than Netanyahu. People just need to look on YouTube, search for Navalny and cockroach, and see what he thought of Muslims. The entire Muslim world should condemn Germany and the Uber Eats Music Hall in Berlin for holding a memorial concert for someone who favored the extermination of all Muslims like they were cockroaches. Yes. Some might say.
Well, as I said before, he did renounce that. And obviously that video you're referring to
is
a comedy
scene. He did not renounce that. He doubled down on it. He did not renounce that at all. In fact, he was funded, of course, by the United States. Because election manipulation is the way the United States does it around the world. They said, oh, you know, he was saying this at a particular time. He never renounced. The guy was a maniac. And thank God the Russian people never wanted to vote for such a bigot and fascist.
Okay, well... Indian General.
Where is his wife? Navalny's wife. Isn't she being, like Zelensky's wife, is being promoted as a possible future. Now Zelensky's no longer the leader of Ukraine, elected leader of Ukraine. Anyway, Lloyd Austin's in Cambodia on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Raytheon director. Is he going to be investigating where they promoted the killing fields, the Khmer Rouge, and the bombing of Cambodia and the murder of countless civilians? Maybe that's what Lloyd Austin's going to do.
Yeah. Although their relationship is better now, right? The US and Cambodia, so maybe they won't talk about the history of their
country. He better watch out for his cancer, Lloyd Austin, the Raytheon man, hasn't he? Isn't he dying of cancer? Or is his cancer? Because Cambodia, of course, was bombed by weaponry that the United States manufactured, which subsequently was seen to cause cancers in babies in Cambodia. So I don't know if Lloyd Austin hangs out in Cambodia, his cancer will get worse, to go AWOL again at the Pentagon.
Okay, well, arguably a more noteworthy visit is Pakistani PM Shaukat Aziz is arriving in Beijing on Tuesday for a 5-day visit to see his counterpart there. Obviously, that's the day that the Indian general election results are set to come through, which we mentioned last week. I think Modi is still looking like he's going to win. Pakistan in China, quite significant. Obviously, Pakistan is looking for a BRICS membership. Obviously, there's still tensions there with Pakistan and India that has a good relationship with China. This has
even about Imran Khan. You were speaking to him before he went to prison, and now he's the Pakistani Prime Minister, this man.
That's right. Well, what do you make of Aziz? He was obviously Prime Minister in he was Prime Minister in 2000 to 2010. I think he's a financier, he's a banker. I think typically he's been hailed as a great one for the economy for Pakistan, though it's been contested at exactly how much, you know, he was a success in that regard. What do you make of this guy, Aziz?
Why aren't you talking about Imran Khan? Do you not care about him anymore?
Well, he's in jail.
This guy, Shahbaz Sharif, only got to power after a US-backed coup, didn't he, according to Imran Khan, the most popular leader in Pakistan.
Yeah, he was still popular in the most recent election, which was only back in February, was it, the Pakistan election? But
he's Nawaz Sharif's brother, this guy, is going to China. The Sharif family. I don't know, people can write in the comments about what they think of their amazing success at the Ittelfak Group and the Sharif Group. The business interests of the Sharif family, that's fascinating. And I think given China likes to crack down on corruption, maybe they'll be talking about that. I'm not sure, but Li Qiang will have his work cut out for him. You know, it's the International Day of Innocent Children Victims of Aggression, according to the UN on Tuesday, June the 4th.
Right.
Will they be marking that day in London, Brussels, Paris, Berlin, Washington? I don't think they will they? Because they're all mass murdering and beheading innocent children, victims of aggression.
Well, obviously, it's D-Day week, the 80th anniversary, so I'm sure they're going to be focused on that. Wednesday, if you're ready to move on to Wednesday.
What? No. So you already did India's general election, which, of course, is a great victory for Modi. No, in Britain, an inquiry continues into the death of Sheku Bayo in police custody, who was born in Sierra Leone. He fled to the UK, and he was killed in prison, was he? What happened to him?
Is that
he was
right?
Training to be a gas engineer, father of two sons, and police Scotland officers allegedly killed him. What a sad and yet geopolitically important story. In that Sandline International and other companies were involved in the destruction of Sierra Leone, and how, in the end, the refugees make it to Britain from the civil wars that ensue, created by British mercenary groups in Africa in those days, and then get killed by British police. I should also say, Sergei Lavrov said just the other day, they're going to open a Russian embassy in Sierra Leone, another African country, to watch for easing tie-ups to BRICS countries. And Chang'e 6 moon mission, the lunar lander expected to launch from the moon, from the dark side of the moon. And one other thing, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, is at the Senate Appropriations Committee. Trump will have a lot to say about that, if he can, about how the FBI is a political police force aimed at destroying democracy in the United States, according to Trump. And also at the U.S. House Committee, they will be discussing drug activity on Native American tribal land. I mention that because Leonard Peltier, the great Native American activist imprisoned for being Native American in the United States, arguably, so says his lawyer, helped by Kim Kardashian, actually. Leonard Peltier, the other day, there were reports that he's very ill. So we wish him well.
We do. That's Tuesday then for you. A lot going on. Subscribe if you're not already, and let us know what you think of the Tuesday events and all of the events for that matter. Wednesday then, ahead of the D-Day anniversary, which we'll go on to, Israel on Wednesday is holding its annual, albeit controversial, nationwide parade. Now, this has been...
Are you seriously calling it a parade?
Well, what would you like to call it?
Go on. What's it about? What are they celebrating?
So this parade, which has been going on for nearly 60 years, is to commemorate the capture of East Jerusalem during the Six-Day War in 1967. Kind of surprised it's going ahead. I'm sure the mood is going to be quite different this year. I don't know if you saw, actually, on Sunday, there was a Israel Day parade in New York. One protester held up a sign saying, "Kill hostages now." Another held one up that said they're not coming home, in relation, I assume, to the Israeli hostages being held by Hamas. What do you think the mood will be like? I'm surprised it's going ahead, as I said, but also as well, in the Palestinian territories, Wednesday is Naxa Day, which translates to Day of the Setback. And again, it's in reference to the Six-Day War, but refers to Israel taking control of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, which had previously been controlled by Jordan and Egypt. So they're both kind of commemorating this day, but in very different ways.
Day of the Setback. Mm. Yeah, they have ways, don't they, the Palestinians, for commemorating their appalling lack of proper leadership since the death of Yasser Arafat, since the killing of Yasser Arafat. Yeah, so they're committing genocide, even these ridiculous international court institutions that are traditionally NATO courts recognizes the plausibility of that. And these neo-Nazi Jews are going to be marching through Jerusalem to celebrate the violations of international law in UN Security Council Resolution 242. That they're celebrating their violation of. They're going to go through the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem. I mean, every day they're murdering children in the West Bank, Jerusalem, showing that this is not a war on Hamas, as Comcast Sky News maintains, because why are they killing people in Jerusalem, Muslims in Jerusalem, Christians? Why are they spitting on nuns in Jerusalem, these Zionists? Obviously, most of the world believes they have to be, Israel has to be ended now. They can't keep going on like this. There are just too many babies being beheaded by the United States, Britain, the European Union, in West Asia. And of course, the irony that it is D-Day, where the lies being told on British media will be that it wasn't the USSR that won the war against the real Nazis of Hitler and so on,
it's not quite true. I mean, I do want to move on to D-Day. That's kind of across Wednesday and Thursday. Is there anything you have for Wednesday other than D-Day, which I do kind of want to move on to in conjunction with Thursday?
It's amusing also that D-Day occurs when the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, a notoriously alleged corrupt bank in Europe, in London, holds a discussion on the future of state ownership, because after the privatizations and the neoliberal selling out of the economies of Western Europe, now in economic crisis, that has continued, not just because of productivity failure since the 80s, but because of the 2008 corruption scandals in finance and so on, that they should be now realizing, oh, maybe there should be state ownership of all these important institutions rather than selling it to private corporations that then bribe our politicians so that we don't have democracy anymore in NATO nations, and bribe the media, arguably own the media, to stop any kind of real democracy in West. And this is what D-Day was for, was it? Mm. To fight for a Western Europe which is just owned by a tiny little oligarch elites that destroy the lives of hundreds of millions in Western Europe.
Okay, interesting link there then. So I suppose it's ironic that it's coming then, but obviously Wednesday and Thursday, these World War II allies are going to be commemorating the 80th anniversary now of D-Day.
Why is it called D?
What does the D stand for? Do you know?
I don't think D-Day is nearly as important as Stalingrad. I think D-Day and these propaganda ideas of loss of NATO, now NATO nation troops, are there to disguise the fact that World War II was mostly fought, when it comes to casualties, in the Soviet Union on the Eastern Front and in Japan and China between that. This is World War II. So countless Hollywood films, history books, the entire mass cultural and opticon of NATO propaganda is to create these myths. And of course, we'll never hear about how the founders of Israel, the terrorists, the Irgun, who killed British soldiers in Jerusalem, actually wanted Hitler to expel Jews so that they could found the now terrorist genocidal state of Israel. So when Princess Royal Vice Admiral Sir Tim Rollins, Franco-British Bio Cathedral, British Military Cemetery, all of this meant to propagandize and ignore the fact that today Britain supports those with the Nazi emblem in Europe.
Okay. Well, I know that you have talked about Russia and how NATO nations see Russia's role in this, but obviously Russia has typically been invited to this commemoration. It's taking place in France. Emmanuel Macron is hosting, and there's loads of representatives going there. Rishi Sunak will be there, Joe Biden, even King Charles is going to be there. Olaf Scholz is going to be there. A lot of people, and there was discussion on Putin going, because typically he has gone to these events. As you know, they don't forget Russia's role, though it was just announced just a few hours ago that they're not going to have Putin or even a Russian representative there. I think a French official has said these are not the right conditions for Russia to be included, given the war going on. Weirdly, Zelensky is going to be there. But he seems to be the tag-along at all of these events now, doesn't he? He's there in the EU, he's there at NATO, so he's, yeah, weirdly going to be there, but just seems to be following the trend of him sort of following these countries about everywhere they go.
I mean, the veterans who lie in the cemeteries of Normandy will be turning in their graves, clearly, because that's quite apt that Zelensky, whose term ran out, who banned opposition parties, banned democracy in Ukraine, who supports those with the Nazi emblem in Europe, should be with genocidal alleged war criminals like Joe Biden, Rishi Sunak, Olaf Scholz, and Macron, because they're supporting, all those leaders support genocide. They're bankrolling the Nazis in eastern Ukraine, carrying out genocide against Russian speakers and ethnic cleansing of Russian culture. And of course, they wouldn't have a Russian representative, because that would remind them that the dead in front of them, the cemeteries in front of them, lie the fallen of those who fought on the side of Russia against what is represented by Joe Biden, Rishi Sunak, Scholz, Macron, and this dictator, Zelensky.
Okay. Although, of course, they were going to be invited. So, I don't know, doesn't seem like quite the conclusion to make.
Well, they banned Russian culture in NATO countries. They banned RT, the news channel. They banned Pushkin. They banned opera singers. They banned ballet stars. They burned the books of Russians in Zelensky's dictatorship, Ukraine, where they pull ordinary Ukrainians off the streets to force them into the meat grinders as they murder de facto hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians on the altar of Washington military industrial corporate capitalism.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on from that, Thursday, European Parliament elections. You'll be following this, I assume. So EUs and member states will be electing, 720 MEPs? That's members of European Parliament. It was a 5-year terms. The European People's Party is currently the largest political group, and that's Ursula von der Leyen's party, who's European Commission president, as we know. Looks like she's still going to hold the throne, I think, on this. Now, as far as I know, Ukraine isn't going to get a say in this election, but hardly be surprising if that changes. As we said, they seem to be involved in everything nowadays. But what do you think is going to come of these elections? Probably.
I think with a few honourable exceptions, the Irish MEP is the European Parliament is just a proxy Washington slave group. It's why Britain wanted to get out of the European Union, because even the ordinary British voter had no interest in these people. They're all prostituted by American capital, the military industrial complex. They support Nazis. They support genocide. I think maybe in years to come, people will wonder why more wasn't done against the people who serve the European Parliament. That might be being discussed at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, which opens on Thursday and runs till Saturday, where Lavrov, I suppose hot footing it back from Africa, will be there. The Russian Central Bank Governor Elvira Nabiulina, who steered the course of the Russian economy against the NATO, neo-Nazi supporting NATO sanctions to end up with a economy in Russia that is growing the fastest in of all developed countries, I'm not sure. And noticeably, the OPEC Secretary General, Haitham al-Geis, will be there in Russia talking. So what will OPEC, the people who Biden depends on to not have gas prices, petrol prices too high in November's election, what's he there for? Where's Hungarian Foreign Minister Peter Szijjártó there and Venezuelan Vice President Delcy Rodríguez there? Venezuela, of course, the source of the largest energy reserves, known energy reserves on Earth. Well, I think it's clear that I actually saw something here about OPEC. They're terrified, aren't they? It was on this is the week in which OPEC agreed to extend production cuts. I've got it in the Japanese Financial Times. So the real story of what's going on in the world is the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, not the Nazis kicking dirt into the graves of the fallen in France on D-Day.
Yeah, well, I think you talk about the forum. Typically, I think around 69 countries have had representatives to this forum, or they did in 2022. Even Ukraine went, the UK, the US. I'm sure their invite this year has been lost in the post, but it has typically been a huge forum, but less are obviously going this year, so it's not surprising that the ones you mentioned are going. I believe the Taliban has been invited by Russia this year, but it's still going to be a big event. It always
Taliban
is.
Beat the Americans, didn't they, and the British? So I suppose maybe they want some help from them.
Yeah.
You know, it's the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance annual report on Thursday, June 6th. How can European Union institutions talk about racism while they support genocide? Anyway, the Italian annual economic forecast will show how great Europe is doing, collapsing economically, if you're poor.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen as well on Thursday, the US Supreme Court is announcing, I think, at least one ruling from several pending cases. I've got a huge list here. One of them involves Donald Trump, and it's in relation to whether he can contest his indictment over the 2020 election results and his alleged overturn. There's something to do with OxyContin here concerning the bankruptcy. There's going to be a ruling on that. Several ones here that the US Supreme Court will potentially be making a ruling on Thursday. How many it will, I don't know. I don't think Julian Assange is on the list, however, but we'll see what comes of that one.
I mean, it's not a country of law or democracy, the United States, is it? Because we can see there's no democracy, because the big Israeli donors, the Saban woman funding Biden, and the Sheldon Adelson widow funding Trump. The Israelis have manipulated the election process, the media in the United States. They're not really a country. So what's the point of the Supreme Court? It will be asked by the poor of the United States, which I suppose is why when you saw the UFC and Trump went there to the wrestling match after his his conviction. Why the poor in the United States support Trump, because they think he's hard done by. He's not hard done by. Tel Aviv Gay Pride Parade. Are you going to that, Millie?
I'm not. Are you?
I don't think any... Maybe it has been cancelled because they've killed off so many LGBTQ people in Gaza. They must have, by definition, mass murdered LGBTQ people. And 50 days to go until the Olympic Games. In Paris, already some terror attacks thwarted. I'm sure there will be, given the high rates of inequality in a country like France, which is self-sanctioned to support the neo-Nazis of Eastern Ukraine, big trouble there. And Berlin, what on earth? They're having a Berlin air show to showcase weaponry, while German tanks are being destroyed by the Russians on the Eastern Front, just like they were during the Second World War, and German weaponry is being sent to behead babies in Gaza. What a day Thursday is to the D-Day anniversary. I mean, it's a Rudy Giuliani, our good friend, who we doubted when he was talking about Hunter Biden and the laptop. We should never have doubted him. Accused of sexual assault and harassment in the Supreme Civil Court in New York. Continues to be attacked, doesn't he, Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York who helped New York so much in the after the horror of 9/11?
Yeah. In case, in fact, he is guilty of these crimes and then, you know. But Friday, we better move
on. Wait. What are you doing on Thursday? Are you going to go to the Center for American New Security annual conference in Washington, D.C.?
I think I had to turn them down in the end when they asked me. I'm busy that day, I think.
CNAS. It's a really important think tank. It provides information to the Washington Post, which I noticed just did a hit piece on the Gray Zone and RT and Press TV and all independent media and any media that doesn't support genocide. Center for New American Security is a think tank holding its annual conference. And guess who funds it? That's why I thought you were going to be there. Northrop Grumman, Open Society, that's George Soros, Boeing, that delivered the bomb, 20-pound bomb that massacred those people in the tent in Rafah, Chevron, which was responsible for pollution in Latin America, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, where Lloyd Austin, the cancer Pentagon boss, is, the Taiwan Economic and Cultural Office, BAE Systems, the United States government, BP America, and ExxonMobil. Center for New American Security, I think. Many people will want to go to that meeting. No wonder it's virtual.
Okay. Are you assuming I'm funded by one of these organizations and that's why you think I'm going? Was that the
new implication shirt. There? That's why. It looked like a new shirt you were wearing.
Right. Okay. Nah, this is old. This is nothing. Okay. Friday, because we are 45 minutes in already. Joe Biden. He's in Normandy, obviously, because of the D-Day anniversary. He's going to be making a speech defending freedom and democracy. I assume he must be listening to the Oslo Freedom Forum on Monday. And that's why he's making this speech. And that's going to be at the same time Putin is going to be making his speech at the Economic Forum that we mentioned. He didn't mention, though, that it has been in the mainstream media news, at least in these last few days, about tax hikes in Russia. So it's quite strange because Russia does have extraordinarily low tax, certainly compared to the UK, right? I mean, I think 13% tax across the board, income tax that is, moved up to 15% for high earners in 2021. And now the threshold is lowered for that 15% tax bracket. And this is all to fund its war in Ukraine, as is being said. 8% of Russian GDP on defense spending. To compare, that's about 2.9% in the US. So this is all what Russia is facing at the Economic Forum, where Putin is speaking on Friday.
Even NATO propaganda media that supports the Nazis and genocide had to admit the sanctions have failed, which is quite amazing, isn't it? You'd think the propaganda media would still be trying to sell us the ruble will be rubble and nonsense like that. It's just no one.
Well, I suppose they're arguing they're trying to raise money through tax. I mean, isn't every country, so that's hardly anything groundbreaking. But that's what they're arguing, is that Russia is running out of money and hence trying to up the tax.
You can't sanction countries which are resource rich like Russia, and you can't sanction countries like China without destroying your economy at home, arguably. And that's exactly what these failing states in Western Europe are doing. Of course, the United States is much bigger, it's much more resilient, as it imposes and orders its vassal states to do those sanctions. You know, Friday is also the day of Moody's rating agency, obviously with a bad record before, Moody's sovereign rating review and Britain's. Why Britain and Ukraine have the same day for their rating how stable their economies are?
This is the Russian Economic Forum is going on as well on the same day. Interesting.
Yeah, enough. Britain and Ukraine entwined now, because Britain entwined with Nazism in Ukraine, Britain entwined with genocide in West Asia. So, of course, it would be entwined with a dictatorship in Ukraine. Ukraine, a dictatorship now, because there is no elections have been outlawed in Ukraine, where all the British money has been sent. You know, it's World Food Safety Day on Friday.
Yep. I don't think that's going to be spoken about at the economic forums, though, I imagine. Do you?
No, but I think the idea of all these UN days is just ridiculous, because the Secretary General hasn't gone to Gaza and seen the famine, which is man-made by Biden, Sunak, Scholz and Macron and all the rest of the corrupt leaders of the European Union. All these UN, I mean, once there is a Holocaust going on in real time, none of these things mean anything, do they?
Yeah.
Melinda Gates, I noticed, finally steps down from her position at the Gates Foundation. I think people can write in about what they think of Melinda Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Bill Gates, the largest owner of farmland in the United States, who's done so much for food, actually, and food safety. He's added loads of ingredients and food into the food that NATO nation people eat to make them much healthier.
Yeah. Well, there was something earlier today I saw that the amount of processed foods people in, I guess, NATO nations are eating now is making people more likely to have cancer at a younger age. I have no idea if that's true or not.
I think the big food companies would have something to say about that. They fund research that says the opposite, and they attack any scholarly research, peer-reviewed research that suggests what you just said. Eat as much processed food as you can.
Yeah.
Really. People don't have a choice, because the food is so expensive anyway, they can't buy the organic food. So it doesn't make any difference what the peer-reviewed papers even say, because of the inequality, because they're not democracies in Europe. They have no democracy there because their media is censored. France, they banned Rumble, for heaven's sake. Britain, they torture Julian Assange. There's no democracy in these areas, and the poor just have to eat what they can get if they're lucky enough not to get not to starve, as malnutrition rates have soared in areas of Western Europe. I'm surprised you didn't mention the deadline for responses to this proposed electricity link between England and France.
Okay, tell me about that.
The Aquind interconnector. The deadline for responses to that. They're going to link, the British government previously refused permission, but it would operate between Portsmouth on the south coast of England and Normandy, where the bodies of those fighting Nazism are buried. I mean,
sounds very high tech.
Yeah, given that NATO countries supported, and NATO media, by lying about it, supported the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, energy pipeline supplying Germany, and which was the worst environmental catastrophe man-made in terms of methane emissions in the history of the world, and has been hidden and covered up by the fake media like CNN and British state broadcaster BBC. Why would they be having an electricity link that would go onto the channel when it could be the subject of terrorism by those who remember what was done to Germany? Someday a German will learn about that, and they'll learn about why their family couldn't afford to eat their house.
Okay. Something to look at then. Okay, Saturday, now we've got a group of pro-Palestinian protesters called Answer Coalition, who are apparently going to surround the White House on Saturday and demand an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. I suppose that's if a ceasefire has not already been agreed upon. They're going to be wearing red in reference to this red line that the Biden administration has been referring to with regards to what action it deems acceptable or not acceptable by the Israeli military. These are pretty brave protesters, right? If they're going to be surrounding the White House on Saturday, are you going to be joining them?
I wish I could. I really wish I could. Yeah, it's a day of protest, isn't it? I mean, these amazing people on the streets of Western nations, they have a lot of courage, given we've seen the beatings that have occurred in NATO countries against these people, the use of tear gas, the police brutality against the protesters. I mean, you've got to remember, these are not democracies. There's no free media in Western Europe or the United States, where governments seek to outlaw any kind of freedom of expression. So they have a lot of guts. I mean, there's a national demonstration for Palestine in London, as well as at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Will they get much coverage in propaganda media, which is linked to the military-industrial complex? Probably not. In fact, most of the time, people just go, why are these people bother wasting our time and clogging up the traffic? I should say, though, the national demonstration for Palestine in London should get an extra fillip from the idea that Sunak, the incumbent prime minister ahead of the July 4th general election there, his billionaire's wife, from where Sunak gets his money, has, there's family shares in the Sunak family in a company linked to the Israeli intelligence services. And Sir Keir Starmer, the persecutor of Julian Assange, who's the opposition leader who's likely to be prime minister on July 4th, nearly half his shadow cabinet are in the pay of Israel lobbyists. So, the national demonstration for Palestine is a curse on both parties in this charade of democracy that occurs on July the 4th, when no one really gets a vote when it comes to genocide, which Britain is a co-conspirator in, according to perhaps the next ICC judgment. Is Biden still in Paris?
Saturday, I think he's going to be spending. I mean, he's all over the place: Normandy, Paris, various places. Obviously, having a lovely little holiday. But also on Saturday, as well as the pro-Palestinian protesters, it's the deadline, isn't it, for Netanyahu apparently to adopt a 6-point plan for Gaza, as threatened by Israeli war cabinet member and former Israeli PM Benny Gantz. And he said if the deadline is not met for this, he's going to resign from government, basically. And this 6-point plan that he wants includes the return of Israeli hostages, ending Hamas rule, demilitarizing the Gaza Strip, and establishing an international administration of civilian affairs, and supports the normalization of relations with Saudi Arabia and to widen military service to all Israelis. I mean, do we think this is all going to happen this week? Will he resign? I don't know. But that is the deadline on Saturday for that to happen. Kind of weird, though. They're trying to discuss this ceasefire with Hamas, but they want to kill Hamas. So you're kind of negotiating with the people that you say you're going to murder. So seems a bit counterproductive.
I mean, they killed all these people that were taken captive after dancing by the apartheid wall at a rave. And they killed them all with British, American, European Union bombs. Because that's what
I think. There's still 100. They say they've got 100 who are still alive.
Presumably, the resistance groups have to really keep hold of them and keep them safe from these British and American bombings, because they want to exchange them for all the child prisoners that Israel has taken over the years, and all these so-called, you know, cabinet members, this, that, the other. It's like talking about Hitler's cabinet, isn't it? Netanyahu is about to go to jail, saving himself. It doesn't make any difference. The whole of Israeli society has been exposed, because polls show most of them want Netanyahu to go further in the genocide. It's a destroyed, socially, morally corrupt nationhood. It should never have been a nation. They can't steal someone's country, which is what Israel did. So it's arguably going to be the end of Israel that they're presaging. And at the same time, this deadline for Benny Gantz, what does it actually matter? There will be demonstrations when Biden and on the state visit in Macron in Paris. There'll be demonstrations, maybe people with red cords like in Washington on Saturday because of Biden's red lines. Israel's running circles around these Antony Blinken and Joe Biden who just keep sending the weapons. Remember when they said, oh, we won't send the 2,000 pound bombs for Israel to bomb and mass behead children. We'll send 20 pound bombs, which is the type of Boeing bomb that massacred all those, beheaded all those babies the other day. Who cares what Israel thinks? It's the end of Israel is what the Global South believe, even international courts believe. It'll be really important for the Israeli lobby to fund and bribe and assassinate, kidnap. That's what they've done in the past. Those opposing genocide in the coming weeks and months. We don't know what Trump is going to do. He said to Habib at the UFC, caught off mic, that he would end the war in Gaza when he wins in November. No one really knows. I know that on Saturday there's caucuses in U.S. colonies in Guam, in the Pacific.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how bad the United States are with these colonies they use for nuclear testing, for bases from which to launch their next war. If some say the war in Gaza, desperate Biden to end that because his base is turning against him, to start World War III against Russia and China, and of course Iran, which is at the moment amidst a general election after the sudden death of their president Raisi, after the Iranians responded in that calibrated way to the US-UK EU nation armed destruction of the consulate in Damascus, and the Yemen bombing goes and the Lebanon bombing goes, all with British and American weaponry, killing children, killing civilians, killing men, women, and children all week.
Okay. Well, we better just finish on Sunday very quickly. Now, I've got the parliamentary elections in Belgium to be looking out for. This is as the European Parliament election results should come through. Now, this is seen as a bit of a make or break for Belgium. I think it's a triple election. So it's regional, federal, and then obviously they've got the European Parliament. I think it's previously taken Belgium quite a long time to get sorted after these elections, and it's resulted in an effective institutional standstill, they're calling it. I don't know if you remember in 2010 to 11, it held the world record in the longest period without a government, which was 541 days. You wouldn't expect it from a country like Belgium. It's not one we hear loads about in the mainstream media. Obviously, the current prime minister is Alexander De Croo, who's it's not looking great for him, is it, right now? I don't know how much you follow the Belgium politics. What are you thinking for this election?
Hergé, the great Belgian author of Tintin, we support the Nazis. That's all I think about Belgium. Obviously, Belgium is a bankrupt country. It has no money if you count the mass killing it was responsible for under King Leopold against Congo. I'm much more interested in DRC because they've unveiled a new government there. And Felix Tshisekedi was elected in December. And now there was an attempted coup and they formed a government. Whatever that government needs to do is clearly to attack Belgium and try and get some of their money back to invest in national mineral exploitation projects rather than just getting them from foreign companies that often, more often than not, take the capital out and the valuable minerals out of Congo with very little of the people in Congo. So I think as the genocide supported by Belgium is more, not just in Congo under Leopold, but today as Belgium supports the genocide in Gaza and supports the genocide in Europe, Eastern Ukraine, I think more countries are going to realize Belgium needs to be neutralized as quickly as possible. It can't keep going like this.
Okay, dear. All right. Well, it's complicated, though, I think, the Belgium elections, because my understanding is Flemish voters only can vote for Flemish parties. French speaking can only vote for French speaking parties. And then Brussels, they can pick and choose. So it's a bit fragmented anyway in Belgium. So it's certainly one to watch. But have you got anything?
Why is the EU in Belgium anyway? Why is it in Brussels?
It's a good question. Perhaps someone in the comments can let us know.
All these areas are being deindustrialized. Their economies lay in ruins because of their self-sanctioning to support Zelensky's Nazis. So we're watching a decline there, and there's all these parties fighting out of the parliamentary elections. It's up to BRICS countries, a Shanghai Cooperation Organization, to really start to think about what they're going to do when they take over Western Europe. The great thing about neoliberalism is they can buy up all these areas of Western Europe, denazify them without having to go in militarily, arguably.
Okay. I think we ought to leave it there unless you've got something final for Sunday that you want to mention.
We haven't mentioned Latin America very much, have we? Not much of an Africa either. And little about South Korea. More of those North Korean trash balloons in response to the balloon attacks from US-occupied South Korea. Watch out for those.
I think they said they're going to stop doing those now. I think they said early this week.
You've got to say North Korea has a sense of humor. You've got to say, why doesn't Russia send balloons of trash over to Western Europe for all the propaganda it sends over all around the world?
I don't know. Maybe that's the modern warfare. Send balloons of trash. And that's the real way to anger the enemy.
It's a lot better than sending BAE systems bombs onto the heads of children in Gaza.
Yeah, perhaps this is a better method, but we better leave it there anyway. Okay, well, thank you so much for watching. Please subscribe, like, comment. You can watch on YouTube, Spotify, X, all the platforms. We're available. Let us know, of course, what you think about these events. We'd like to hear your comments, and we will see you next week.
If World War III hasn't broken out.
That's true. Or even then, we will still be here.
We'll try.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye for now.